Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Today and every Sunday, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation, makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war, makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. This afternoon, your Radio Hall of Fame pays tribute to Bert Lahr, Peter Lorre, Artie Shaw and the Gramercy Five, Joe Stafford, and as usual, Paul Whiteman and the orchestra. And our mistress of ceremonies is one of the world's best-loved comedians. She's been over in Europe for the past 6 years, living in war-torn London, entertaining our Allied fighting men, going to the battlefields, and doing everything in her power to keep up the morale of our boys. Before that, audiences all over the world enjoyed her gay songs and delightful humor in musical comedies, motion pictures, and radio programs too numerous to mention. She's in New York now as one of the stars of the great Broadway musical, The Seven Lively Arts. And your Radio Hall of Fame is proud to welcome Miss Beatrice Lilly. Bea, we've all been hearing some wonderful things about the way you entertained our boys on every front. You must have traveled quite a bit to do that.
Yes, I did, Glenn. And going from place to place, I discovered one thing.
Oh, what's that?
You may wander all over the world, but you must go to Italy to Rome. You get it? Italy, Rome.
Yes, I get it.
Well, keep it.
Seriously, Bea, I understand that our boys overseas took quite a liking to you. Is that right?
Quite. In fact, one troop was so pleased with me, they promised to send me a special box of goodies, a package of the finest delicacies.
Oh, that's wonderful.
What is K-ration?
Oh, didn't you eat with the officers?
Oh, but definitely, deaf. For my first meal, they served me a dish called poulet au vin et jambon truite à bleu.
What's that?
One meatball.
Tell me this, V. Are the boys anxious to get home?
Well, I did meet a few who were rather homesick. In fact, I went into their barracks to cheer them up, but no dice.
Why not?
No dice. And some of them are so frightfully sensitive. I sent one GI a Christmas card, but he returned it unopened.
Why?
A soldier is always suspicious of anything that says greetings. Well, they were all very nice to me. One chap even invited me up in his plane, a brand new hell diver. And at the first dive, we almost made it.
Well, I envy you, Bea. It must be a great thrill to be able to entertain all those troops.
Yes, it is a thrill, old Glenn. But I don't know exactly how I can put it to you, but if you'll bear with me a few moments, I'd like to try and explain what I mean. In the days of peace, I'm a famous star on the musical comedy stage. My name is known both near and far. I'm on every picture page. I'm every old man's cup of tea. I'm every young man's cash. But civilians don't appeal to me, although they've lots of cash. When I hear the bugle song, and I hear the tramp, 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 I bid a pretty quick adieu to musical comedy and review, and I make for the nearest camp. Yes, I haste, haste, haste away, just ahead of Martha Ray. Oh, I'm madly keen to entertain the troops. I don't mind if it's singly or in groups. I'll entertain in barracks or even a large marquee. I'll give them Swing or Wagner's Ring or selections from Rosemary. When the soldiers are off duty for a moment, I feel they need a bit of boop-a-doot. It's my duty to the nation to stay well in circulation. Oh, I'm madly keen to entertain the troops. On Monday, one sings gaily to the tank corps. Tanks are for the memory. On Tuesday, to the men who fire a gun. Home, home on the range. On Wednesday, one croons to the boys with the balloons. On Thursday, the Marines must have their fun. On Friday, one sings torch songs to the searchlight. On Saturday, one's gay with ERE. And if the train, I'm willing to do a little thrilling to the gentleman who joined the CAP. I'm madly keen to entertain the troops till every artificial eyelash droops. I may get slightly husky and begin to feel a strain, and the men who adored me may get slightly bored when I pop up once again. But as long as there's an army and a navy, and the airmen don't forget their loop-the-loop, I adore each stage I step on. I'm Great Britain's secret weapon. Oh, I'm madly keen to entertain the troops.
Well, Miss Lilly, we certainly admire the way you've so successfully brought entertainment to our troops overseas. You've done a great job. And did you know that I had the same sort of a job?
Really?
Yes, only my job is telling civilians about the entertainment Philco radios and phonographs will bring them after the war is won. From all over the country, the evidence keeps pouring in. Philco is America's first choice in post-war buying preference by an average of 3-1 over any other make of radio or radio phonograph. This is a reflection of America's confidence in the achievements of Philco research. For 12 straight years, the products of its laboratories made Philco the acknowledged leader of the radio industry. Today, those laboratories are devoted to production of radar and the electronic miracles of modern warfare, adding to the sum total of man's knowledge in electronic science. When victory is won, a finer Philco radio and radio phonograph will be the legacy of this war research. Finer in tone, performance, and quality. Richer in the joys they will bring you from radio and recorded music. Yes, tomorrow, Philco leadership will fulfill the obligations of America's vote of confidence today.
Now, as mistress of ceremonies, it's my great pleasure to introduce... aren't I formal? To introduce the Dean of Modern American Music, Mr. Paul Whiteman.
Hiya, Beatrice. Welcome to New York City.
I'm the one who should welcome you, Paul. Didn't you just get back from Hollywood?
Yeah, I ran out of cigarettes. So I thought maybe I'd come to New York and maybe...
Oh, yes, you'll find out.
Say, B, if we said the words, ooh-ah, ooh-ah, what would that bring to your mind?
Ah-wah, ah-wah. That's Amos and Andy, isn't it?
No, sir, B. Ah-wah, ah-wah is a Whiteman tradition. A little something the boys in the band created when Roy Maxim, our trombone player, created the wah-wah mute.
Well, I'm fascinated. Tell me more.
Well, back in 1924, the wah-wah mute was created, so a composer wrote a tune about it and called it Doo-Whack-A-Doo.
I remember perfectly. Your trumpet player, Henry Bousset, used to do, ah-wah, ah-wah.
Oh, no. Sure, on the trumpet, will you, boys? See, the point is that the tune became a hit, and we recorded it.
Complete with ah-wah, ah-wah.
Right, now we've dug up that old arrangement, and we'll play it now just like we recorded it. Then we'll update it with all the modern curlicues and play it in 1945 style. Do you want to hear it?
I can't wait.
Okay, B, coming at you with Do Whack A Do like we used to do it. You got it, boys. Here's the flawless finish provided by the modern men of music. Do Whack-A-Do in 1945 style.
wonderful, Mr. Whiteman. Now then, we throw open that wing of our Radio Hall of Fame, which is known as the Comedian's Wing. And today we place upon a pedestal a comedian who has made America laugh since way back when. This funny man has so many reasons why he's a nominee for our Radio Hall of Fame, but I couldn't possibly list them all. Perhaps you'll remember him as the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. Or Broadway theatergoers will never forget him in Du Barry Was a Lady. Right now, he's my co-star in The Seven Lively Arts. He's a wow and the tops in comedy entertainment. Mr. Bert Lahr.
Miss Lily, I am perturbed. I'm touched to the second layer of quick. In fact, I'm gasted with flabber. Your introduction is filled with diminuendos.
Oh, but Bert, all I said was you were a wow, and a wow spelled backwards is still wow.
Yeah, and you also said I was the top, and top spelled backwards is pot. Miss Lily, I wish to pick a bone with you.
Oh, you silly headstrong boy.
You said I was co-star in The Seven Lively Arts with you, didn't you?
Yeah.
Then why is your dressing room so much better than mine?
Well, I don't know, but I can pull a few strings for you.
No, thanks. I can be my own jerk.
All right, then, well, what's on your mind?
It's very simple.
I know, but what's on it?
In the first place, my dressing room is too small. Every time I look in the mirror, my reflection sings, "Don't fence me in." I ask for Venetian blinds, and what do they give me? Pleated Kleenex.
Oh, you shouldn't complain, Bert. Didn't the producer put a feather bed in your dressing room?
Feather bed, indeed. I don't mind the feathers, but that tar is awfully sticky. Besides, even if I do want to sleep over some night, it's impossible. My dressing room is too drafty. I always get a cold in the head.
Well, why don't you wear a nightcap?
I can't. The scotch keeps dripping in my eyes. Why can't I have a dressing room like the one I have at the hotel?
What hotel do you live in?
The Waldorf Astoria.
Oh, the Waldorf on Park Avenue?
No, the Waldorf in Astoria. Here's a picture of my suite, Miss Lily. This is the study over here.
Your study? I don't see any books. There's nothing on the walls except pictures from Esquire.
That's all I ever study. Oh, it's not the dress room. It's the principle of the thing. I can't let them kick me around. After all, I'm a man.
Shh, Bert, not so loud. You'll discourage the rest of your sex. Now, look here, I wouldn't complain if I were you, Bert. The producer doesn't like it. Next Saturday, he may put a pink slip in your envelope.
No, no. He can't bribe me with pretty clothes. And what if he does fire me? I can always go back where I'm appreciated, where they recognize real talent. The opera.
Opera? Now, Bert, what do you know about the subject?
Are you kidding? If you want the real dope about the opera, you've come to the real dope. Why, I've been told I'm a better singer than Lawrence Milky.
That's Melchior, not Milky.
I condensed it.
That's right.
Ah, give me the good old days at the Metropolitan. I was charming in Carmen. I was supreme in La Boheme. And I was a world beater in Aida.
Well, then why did you leave opera?
I loused up Faust. Here's a clipping from one of the newspapers. Just read what one critic said about my singing.
Well, let me see. It says, "Last night Bert Lahr sang Il Trovatore, and Trovatore has never been so ill."
And that's not all. Here's a telegram I got this morning. Just listen to this. "You can have your Martinellis, your Meltons, and your Peenses. We'll take Bert Lahr. Signed, local draft board number 2.
Well, you needn't brag so much, Bert. I've done a bit of opera myself.
My, what a quince.
Well, as one singer to another, do you prefer the diatonic or the homophonic method?
Are you asking me a question or looking for a fight? Look, let's take an aria from one of my operas, say Aida.
Well, what key do you sing it in?
What key? Let's see. What key does Jack Charlie Tommy sing it in?
You mean John Charles Thomas.
I call him by his knick-knack.
Well, he sing it in B flat.
Well, play it in plain B. I'll flatten it out myself.
And before we begin, remember, I'm strictly a high note singer. I sing only high notes.
Oh.
I don't fool around with those low notes.
You don't? No. Well, all right, you take the high notes, and I'll take the low notes, and I'll get to the exit before ye. A bit of Aida, please, Mr. Whiteman. Take us to the Metropolitan.
Oh, that is
lovely,
beautiful. What opera does that come from? That'll butter Tibbet shortening bread. I can't understand it. Some people think this is terrible.
Yeah, I'm one of them. You have a very powerful voice.
Powerful? I'm the only guy that ever got an answer from Chloe.
Better skip lightly from the ridiculous to the sublime and meet our next candidate for your Radio Hall of Fame, who is a young lady who sings. Now, this makes me extremely jealous, of course. Not only because she sings, because she's a very young woman. But we mustn't let personal feelings enter into this thing. So let's welcome a girl who has been voted the feminine star of tomorrow, who has won fame with her smashed recordings of Long Ago and Far Away, and I Didn't Know About You, and many more. She has just finished a successful session on the air, being the feminine vocal star on Johnny Mercer's Music Shop, and is now wowing the people at the famous La Martinique Supper Club here in New York. Swing wide the portals of your Radio Hall of Fame for Miss Jo Stafford. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Not much, B. How you be? Nice place you have here.
Like our Radio Hall of Fame, Joe?
Love it. And I'm really thrilled being here.
Well, I know we're all going to be thrilled hearing your latest recording arrangement of I Promise You. Mr. Whiteman's ready. Are you?
All set. I promise you.
Oh, that was lovely, Joe Stafford. And don't forget, you promised us another song later on in the show. And now...
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. Only this and nothing more.
In the dim reaches of the early 19th century, a dark genius spoke darkly in the language of literature, of things and shapes horrid. The generations who read Edgar Allan Poe were glad enough to know that by closing the book, they were done with his masked and misty visitors. But in our time, another dark genius rose. He is Peter Lorre, and his notice to the world was a picture called M. And no matter what role he's cast in, his performance is always breathtaking. He's now in New York, appearing at the Strand Theater, where his latest Warner Brothers picture, Hotel Berlin, is showing. And since we believe that Mr. Lorre is the only living artist who can bring to life a terrifying character of the poet's imagination, we welcome for the first time to Radio Hall of Fame the dark genius of Poe and the even darker genius of Mr. Peter Lorre in Frank Wilson's adaptation in Poe's famous masterpiece, The Telltale Heart.
Yes, it's true. I'd been nervous, very, very nervous, and I am, but why do you say that I'm mad? Oh, no, the disease has sharpened my senses, not destroyed them. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth, and I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Observe how calmly I can tell the whole story. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. I didn't want his gold. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was his eye. One of them was like that of a vulture. A pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold. Then I knew I must kill him and get rid of that terrible eye forever. Every night at midnight, I turned the latch of his door and opened it. Oh, so gently. And then, when I'd made an opening, I put in a dark lantern. All closed, so that no light shone out. And then I thrust in my head. I moved it very slowly, so that I would not wake him. Then I unbit the lantern cautiously. Oh, so cautiously. I opened it just so much that one piercing ray fell upon his vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights. But I found the eye always closed, so it was impossible to do the work. For it was not the old man who vexed me, but his evil eye! On the 8th night, I was more than usually cautious. A watcher's minute hand moves much more quickly than did mine. To think that there I was, opening the door little by little, and he not even to dream of my secret thought. I heard him move. Now you may think that I drew back. Oh, no. I kept pushing steadily. Then he cried out, "Who's there?" And then 1 hour. I waited. I did not move. I knew he was listening. Listening to the death watches in the wall. I waited and waited. And I could not hear him lie back, so I opened the lantern just a little, so little, until one single dim ray shot out from the crevice and full upon his vulture eye. It was open, wide open, and I grew furious. As I gazed upon it, I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow of my bones. But I could not see his face. I could not see his body, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct, precisely upon the damned spot. I told you, what you mistake for madness is only the extreme sharpness of my senses. I could hear it. A low, dull, quick sound. The sound a watch makes when covered with cotton. I knew that sound, and it beat me into a rage. Like a drum beat. Such courage! I tried to keep quiet, not to move, to keep the lantern gleaming on the evil eye, but his fear grew worse, and his heart beat faster and louder, and faster and louder and louder. They'll hear it beyond the walls. The neighbors will hear the heartbeat beyond the walls. I must stop it. Stop it! Stop it!
There, it's almost done. His heart still beats, but they cannot hear it now. They cannot hear it beyond the walls. He's dead. His terrible eye will trouble me no more. Forever. You see, I'm not mad. I know exactly what needs to be done. Oh, I'm clever and wise, and there is time. No, not too much time. It's later than I thought, and dawn will come soon. I must get rid of him. I must put him somewhere in his room. It was so easy to put him under the three planks in the floor. No human eye, not even his vulture eye, could detect anything wrong now. There was nothing to wash out. No stain of any kind, no possible clues. I was too clever for that. 4 o'clock. It's still dark as midnight. Oh, good. That's good. I worked faster than I thought. What's that? Who? Oh, what does it matter? Why must I be afraid now? Just open the door and let them in. Let them in.
You've searched the house now, you three gentlemen of the police. You see, there was nothing. The shriek, my neighbor heard. Well, that was my own. I screamed in a dream. I had a nightmare. Huh? The old man? I told you he's gone to the country. This is his own chamber. And see, his treasures are here. They are untouched. You see how silly it is? Oh, pardon me. You're tired from searching? Please sit down, gentlemen. Please forgive me.
Please rest before you go. I'll sit down on this little chair. Over these creaking boards. Well, gentlemen of the police, you're satisfied now? Certainly. If I were guilty of something, I should not be so calm. I should not be here at all. No, I should not be here at all. Should I? Huh? It's very funny, yes. Isn't it? Yes, it's too bad you had to come out on so cold a night. Matter? No, there is nothing. I was shaking my head. And there's a ringing in my ears. Maybe from waking so suddenly. A ringing, yeah. You're smiling. You know something? You're hearing something? Almighty God! You can hear it? Louder and louder and louder! You're laughing at me! You're laughing at my horror! You're listening to it! Read! Louder! He teared him up. It is the beating of his hideous heart.
Thanks, Peter Lorre.
Hey, B, that guy Lorre was terrific. He scared me to pieces.
Oh, dear, you mustn't be frightened, Paul. Be happy and gay. Let us sing and dance.
You sing and I'll stand here and shake.
Well, if you'll shake your stick, I'll sing you a cute little song that should break the spell. A song about fairies in the bottom of the garden.
And now we're cooking. The Radio Hall of Fame has plenty of room for one of B. Lilly's most famous songs, so here we go.
There are fairies at the bottom of our garden. Now it's not so very, very far away. You pass the gardener's shed, and you just keep straight ahead. Oh, I do so hope they've really come stay. There's a little wood with moss in it, and beetles, and a tiny stream that quietly runs through. Oh, you wouldn't think they dare to come merrymaking there, but they do. Yes, they do. Thank you. There are fairies at the bottom of our garden, and they often give a dance on summer nights. Oh, the butterflies and bees make a lovely little breeze, and the rabbits sit about and hold the light. Get out of it. Now, did you know that they could sit upon a moonbeam and snatch a tiny star to make a fan and dance away up there in the middle of the air? Well, they can. Yes, they can. Thank you. Oh, those fairies at the bottom of our garden. You cannot think how beautiful they are. They all stand up and sing when the fairy king and queen come lightly floating down upon their car. Now the king is very proud and very handsome. and the queen. What can you guess who that may be? She's a little girl all day, but at night she steals away. Now, this'll kill you. Well, it's me! Yes, it's me! Thank you!
Families all over the country have learned they can depend on a Philco refrigerator for trouble-free service. Women who were favorably impressed by such Philco features as the frozen food compartment, the vegetable crispers, the meat storage compartment, and the beautiful exterior now know that there is nothing more important in a refrigerator than the working parts. And it is those working parts grouped together in the Philco Super Power System which have enabled the Philco refrigerator to prove itself a real friend in thousands of kitchens. That's something to remember after victory. Whatever achievements from the Philco laboratories may be revealed in the Philco refrigerator of the future, back of them will be the promise of the Philco name, famous for quality the world over. Your Radio Hall of Fame will continue after station identification. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company. This is your Radio Hall of Fame, which today is honoring Bert Lahr, Peter Lorre, Artie Shaw and the Gramercy Five, Joe Stafford and Paul Whiteman. And here, once again, your mistress of ceremonies, Miss Beatrice Lilly.
Well, there's an extra special niche in the Radio Hall of Fame that we reserve for the gentry of the theater who go off to the wars in uniform and whose names flash back to us at home from the far-flung battlefronts of the world. Tonight, our best red carpet is out to honor our next guest on two counts. Number one, he's just taken off the Navy blues after 2 years of island hopping in the South Pacific. And number two, at the age of 34, he is celebrating his 20th anniversary in show business. Ladies and gentlemen, Artie Shaw.
Thank you, Bea, on both counts.
Artie, that 2-year hiatus when you took time out for the Navy left the great public longing for you.
Well, it's nice of you to say that, Bea, but my tour of duty in the Pacific gave me an audience I'll never forget.
Artie, in playing for the boys, did you ever get a chance to check interest in Tokyo Rose?
Well, I had a funny one on that. I was listening to her myself one night, and she played a record I'd made some years before. After it was over, she said, "You boys in the foxholes will be interested to know that while you're fighting, Artie Shaw is living in luxury in San Francisco."
Oh, dear. And you in Guadalcanal all the time. Well, Artie, from all reports, the boys certainly loved your music over there. The Radio Hall of Fame needs no better recommendation than that.
I've got a better one. You don't mind if I butt in here, do you?
Hello, Artie.
Hi, Paul.
Now, don't tell me, Pop. Let me guess. Every musician in the business has played in your band, and of course, Artie Shaw.
And that's another reason Artie rates the Radio Hall of Fame. He never played for me.
Which leads us to the place where Artie picks up his clarinet, and with that gay recording quintet he calls the Gramercy Five.
Where'd you ever get a name like that, Artie?
Well, Paul, I was stuck for a name, so I just used my telephone number. It's Gramercy 572...
Oh, I'll be careful. Better not give out your phone number.
Well, why not?
Silly boy, I want it for myself. Now, suppose you let us hear the Gramercy 5 and Artie Shaw and your famous arrangement of Sad Sack.
Okay, B, here's our impression of the Sad Sack. Thank you.
an encore, Artie. What'll it be?
Well, how about the Grabtown Grapple?
Sounds exciting. Let's hear it.
And lots of luck to Artie Shaw. Ladies and gentlemen, we've long been aware of the fact that Bee Lilly and Bert Lahr are great comedians. But there's another side to them we don't know. A serious side. A profound side. The Philco Radio Hall of Fame is proud to present tonight Miss Lilly and Mr. Lahr in a dramatic vignette, assisted by Mr. Whiteman. As the curtain rises on an English drawing room, Lady Pamela Parkington is speaking to her father, His Grace Lord Eustace Parkington.
Oh, Papa! Father! Peter! Hey, Pop!
Yes, Pamela? What is it, my dear?
Oh, Papa, I'm so happy. Life is wonderful. Without it, you're dead. I feel so utterly ut.
Pamela, my child, don't tell me you're in love again.
Yes, Papa. He's so handsome, so strong. So passionate. So manly.
Manly, bah. Passionate, bah. Handsome, bah, bah.
Oh, Father, now you're being sheepish.
Where did you meet this person, Pamela?
I met him in a shoe store. It was so romantic. He took off his shoe. I took off my shoe. And the next thing you know, we were holding feet.
Pamela, for 45 years, you've been in love with one man or another. Have you ever thought of marriage?
Thought of it? I've dreamed so much of orange blossoms. I sleep with a smudge pot at the foot of my bed. Please, Papa, he's calling on me tonight. Do be nice to him. There he is now. Go, Papa. You wait in the library. I'll introduce you later. Come in. Bernard.
Pamela.
Tea, Bernard?
Well, of course.
A lemon?
Well, of course.
Sugar?
Well, of course.
A crumpet?
No, lumpet. Oh, I've missed you terribly, Pamela.
Have you really? Darling, kiss me.
Very well. Lower your brow.
Bernard, you are so passionate.
I love you madly.
I've waited for hours, Bernard.
It's been that ghastly fog. The fog is so thick, you can cut it with a knife.
Well, what took you so long?
I had a very dull knife.
I noticed something else, Bernard. You cut yourself while shaving.
How can you tell?
Your ears are on backwards.
You look ravishing tonight, Pamela. And your hand is so soft. Just like chopped chicken liver.
Oh, Bernard, you're so sweet. You're a saint.
That's me, a Saint Bernard.
Oh, yes.
Tell me, Pamela, is your father about?
No, he's out.
And your mother?
She's out.
Come, let us sit before the fire.
Fire's out. Tell me, and how is your mater and pater?
My who?
Your mater and pater.
Oh, they went to the theater with my brother and favor.
Oh, bless your big blue circle.
Pamela, I adore you. Will you run away with me?
Run away, Bernard?
Yes. Come, my pet, flee. Mm? I mean, come, my pet, flee. Pamela, my darling. My darling, I lay my heart at your feet.
David, what was that?
My heart is heavy tonight.
I shall have to speak to Papa, Bernard. Oh, Papa.
Yes, Pamela.
Papa? Oh, this is Bernard.
How'd you do?
Tally-ho, tut-tut, pip-pip, and seven up.
Bernard, this is my father, His Grace Lord Eustace Parkington.
Do you smoke, Your Grace? Will you have a coroner?
You mean a corona?
Smoke it and see who comes.
Bernard.
Chin up, old boy. Stiff up a plate.
Stiff up a what?
Stiff up a berth or plate or something.
Bernard has been away, Papa.
Yes, I just returned from a hunting trip. I've been in Greece hunting grouse in the grass, Your Grace.
How many did you get?
A gross.
Pamela, I'm afraid this man is an imposter. He is not an Englishman.
Not an Englishman? Oh, why, that's absurd. I dare say it's Atsanini.
Very well. What is the order of the bath?
In my house, my brother goes first, my uncle next, and then me.
Oh, Papa, Bernard has asked me to marry him.
Marry you? Well, he might have seen me first.
He did, but he prefers me.
Pamela, you're too young to get married. You're only 22.
I wish I had the difference in cigarettes.
Young man, before I consent to give you my daughter, will you promise to love only her?
Of course, of course. I've never loved another woman before. All I do every night is sit at home and knit. I knit one, purl one. Knit one, purl one. You know something?
What?
Someday I'm going to purl two and see what happens.
Very well, then, take my daughter and with my blessings.
Oh, Bernard, darling, we can get married right away. And maybe in a year or so, we'll hear big feet running down the steps.
No, my dear, you mean little feet.
No, I don't. My mother's coming to live with us.
Your mother? Your mother? The
yes?
Marriage is off.
Why?
I'm not going to fight on two fronts. Oh.
Now your Radio Hall of Fame presents Miss Beatrice Lilly, Miss Jo Stafford, and Paul Whiteman in a special thought about this world in which we live.
There's a happy land somewhere, and it's just a prayer. Yeah. the close of each day.
Scores upon scores of little lands, and great lands too, in which live millions of freedom-loving people who are praying that their land will be a happy land tomorrow. Each night, they kneel in their bombed homes and humbly pray for peace, a lasting peace for which they have paid in agonizing hours of waiting, watching, hoping and fighting, and dying. And our prayers shall be answered. They must be answered. When there are such men as the field director of the American Red Cross, who parachuted from a plane along with 3,000 pounds of medical supplies and food to the men in Corregidor, he is just one example of the millions of brave hearts and strong bodies that are making our prayers come true. We must not forget them as they push closer to victory. We must give more and pray more than ever before for that happy land that's not so far away. A land of peace. A world of free men that is just a prayer away.
There's a happy land somewhere, and it's just a prayer.
Before Miss Lilly returns, this is Glenn Riggs to tell you that next week, the Philco Corporation, which brings you the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements, welcomes William Gaxton and Victor Moore, Robert L. Ripley with a $1,000 prize, believe it or not, about the war, the world-famous Mills Brothers, Joan Edwards, Paul Whiteman, and others. It all adds up to an hour of enjoyment, so we'll be looking for you next week at the same time, hoping you'll be waiting on the doorstep of your Radio Hall of Fame. And now, Miss Lilly.
And now, need I tell you how much I enjoyed spending this pleasant hour with Bert Lahr, Peter Lorre, Artie Shaw, and the Gramercy Five, Joe Stafford, and Paul Whiteman. This is Beatrice Lilly bidding you good day, and leaving Glenn Riggs to close the doors and bar the windows of your Radio Hall of Fame.
Each Sunday at this time, Philco Corporation brings you your Radio Hall of Fame in the name of Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada. After victory, those dealers will bring new products for good living to your home. Finer radios, phonographs, refrigerators, and air conditioners under the Philco name. Famous for quality the world over. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.